podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Black Friday, the annual maelstrom of cheap appliances and discount laptops. The time of the year when everyone can be thankful for surviving the stampede of shoppers clamoring to get into the store. And for gamers around the world, the perfect opportunity to get the newest releases at a fraction of the retail price. But how did all of this madness even start? Who thought combining copious amounts of turkey and mashed potatoes with ravenous consumerism would be a good idea? Well, there's a lot of backstory behind this holiday, and I'm here to give you the lowdown on how it all began. We know Black Friday as the biggest shopping day of the year and the day that signals the beginning of the holiday season. This mentality began in the early 20th century when Thanksgiving parades started featuring Santa Claus, basically telling people that, hey, just a heads up, Christmas is coming. In addition, many of these parades were sponsored in part by department stores like Macy's, and essentially acted as giant advertisements for their businesses. Once the parades ended, stores then began their push for the holidays. As far as the name Black Friday goes, that can be traced back to the 1950s, when the magazine Factory Management and Maintenance referred to workers calling in sick that day, allowing them to enjoy a four-day weekend, and resulting in widespread absences for most companies. The article read, "Friday after Thanksgiving-itis is a disease second only to the bubonic plague in its effects. At least that's the feeling of those who have to get production out when the Black Friday comes along." Black Friday might now be considered a national holiday, but back then, the practice frustrated factory managers just wanting to get work done. That was the original connotation, at least. By the 60s, some cities were using the term to describe the chaos from all the people flooding the shopping districts. The Philadelphia Police Department were the first ones to coin it, and the name stuck. But as words in the English language go, Black Friday again went through another change. In the 1980s, retailers began shifting the meaning to be more about money than traffic congestion. Because of the huge focus on shopping, businesses associated the holiday with the black ink from all the profits that they bring in during the day. It marks what is likely the start of an upward trend in revenue with no more red ink. So those are the origins of the name Black Friday, but who cares, as long as we can get some sweet deals on a toaster. Shoppers have spent the day in malls across the United States for decades, and in turn, retailers have attempted to bring in more people each year by offering bigger and bigger discounts. Now, it wouldn't seem all that dangerous to prey on people's instinct to buy a flat-screen TV, but it has gotten out of control more than a handful of times. In 2008, over 2,000 people stormed the doors of a Walmart, trampling a store employee to death and injuring others. It was the first known case of a worker being killed during Black Friday, and sadly, it was only the beginning of the holiday's violent run. On that same day, two people were shot and killed outside of Toys R Us in Southern California. 2 years later, in 2010, people around the country were arrested for public disturbances, weapon charges, and stabbings. In 2011, a woman pepper sprayed an entire line of people waiting outside a California Walmart. In 2012, two people were shot outside another Walmart, this time while fighting over a parking space. In 2013, thieves stole a TV from a shopper, shooting him in the leg in the process. In 2016, people in Texas, Nevada, and New Jersey were all shot and killed during Black Friday disputes. And this is not even a comprehensive list. Who knows how many arguments and fights actually take place every year across the country. However, if you'd like to see an entire list of known incidents and also get kind of depressed in the process, you can visit blackfridaydeathcount.com. So what exactly do all these gruesome events have in common? Well, they've all occurred within the last 10 years, yet Black Friday has existed for over 6 decades. If we're not careful, in 10 years, the term might end up referring to all the people who die that day. Regardless though, Black Friday is still a great time of the year for everyone. The retailer looking to turn a profit after a year of low sales, the consumer looking to save some money in this world of uncertainty, and everyone else looking to see what kind of craziness unfolds the day after Thanksgiving. So whether you're sitting outside the Target for 3 hours or at your desk just refreshing the Amazon deal of the day, just remember that this is truly the most wonderful time of the year. My name is Joey, and thanks for watching.
So there's your introduction to Black Friday and what that's all about. And I don't think when some of those stores named their sale a doorbuster that they take that so seriously. And I'm looking for the day when folks will stream into a Sunday morning that they do in some of those videos. Makes you think hard about your priorities, doesn't it? So this morning, as we kind of settle into the Thanksgiving end and the rush to Christmas, I want to make sure that we properly say goodbye to Thanksgiving and to try to keep that attitude of gratitude from disappearing with the leftover turkey. We have spent an entire month of Sundays admiring and encouraging the spirit of Thanksgiving. And we've turned to the pages of Scripture where, first of all, we saw this great King Jehoshaphat of Judah who led an army into battle with a choir at the front singing thanks to God. Not one shot was fired, but the Lord won the battle for Judah. And then we were reminded that there was only 1 out of 10 healed lepers that returned to thank Jesus that day. And that one Samaritan leper who returned to say thank you to Jesus was not just healed from his leprosy, but was also healed of his sin. By his faith, he was saved from an even greater disease. And last week, we answered the question, how did Daniel end up in the lion's den? So we all know the story of Daniel, but how was it that he ended up in the lion's den? Well, it was because of his practice of giving thanks 3 times a day, regardless of the threat of lions or whatever else might come his way. He just kept giving thanks 3 times a day. Makes you think hard about your priorities now, doesn't it? So this morning's message doesn't spring from a biblical story, but from a passage of Scripture. It's sort of a cautionary tale. Where does this world's bickering and arguing and fighting really come from? Where does it originate when people can't get along with one another? Why do we have such a hard time getting along with one another? How is it even possible that someone could lose their life in a line outside a department store a day after Thanksgiving? How do we go from thanking the Lord for our many blessings one moment, and then the next moment elbowing and boxing out a fellow shopper over a 40-inch Samsung flat screen? How does that take place? The answer is found here in James chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. So if you have your Bible, turn there to James chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 10, and that's found on page 855 of your pew Bible. James chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. So what is Thanksgiving's rival? What is the enemy of Thanksgiving? I'm talking not about the day of Thanksgiving. I'm talking about the spirit of Thanksgiving. Well, there are a few words that are found in this passage of Scripture that would qualify. It talks about the desires that battle within you, the desires that battle inside your heart. It talks about the fact that you want, but you cannot get. It talks about the fact that we have wrong motives and that we are seeking our own pleasure. It talks about the fact that you want something very, very deeply, but you can never seem to find it in the things of this world. But you keep trying and you're not going to let anybody or anything get in your way. Thanksgiving's rival is what we will call the Black Friday spirit. So let's take some time to compare the Black Friday spirit with the Thanksgiving spirit this morning. What are the warning signs that you are falling into the trap of Black Friday? Let's look at that. The spirit of Black Friday is the spirit of coveting, first of all. It is the desire for more stuff at the least price. That's what Black Friday is all about. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't have a problem with gift giving. Not at all. I don't have a problem with saving money. I've been known to look for a bargain myself. It is the transformation of people from giving thanks to going nuts that is the problem. Seriously, the flyers come in the mail and the advertisements on the internet well before Thanksgiving ever arrives, and our appetites are whetted because we're going to make a killing this year to save money and to get more stuff. Black Friday, it isn't just Friday anymore, to be honest with you. It's all week long. I saw an advertisement early on, this was about a week ago, for Black Friday week. Black Friday, since when was Friday a week? And then last night I got an email that said, Cyber Monday begins today. Since when does Monday begin on Saturday? So Friday is no longer Friday. Monday is no longer Monday. Sometime on Thursday, we go from givers of thanks to consumers of products. So recognize that these attitudes are rivals. Or the spirit of Black Friday is a spirit of covetousness, while the spirit of Thanksgiving is gratitude. It's gratitude. You're going to have to figure out how to do your little outline this morning as we go along. It makes sense, believe me. Coveting is the spirit of Black Friday. Gratitude is the spirit of Thanksgiving. So are you able to sit in your home with your family and be thankful without immediately beginning to think about the next step, about the things that you do not have, or the list of things that you're going to ask Santa for? Are you able to just give thanks to God and just let it sit there without immediately beginning to go to the next step? I'm not talking about the fact that, you know, many people on Thanksgiving, after they're done with their meal, decide that they need to get some exercise and start pulling their Christmas stuff down from the attic. I'm not talking about those folks who already have the Christmas stuff up at the Thanksgiving table. I'm not talking about that. There's nothing wrong with that necessarily. What I am saying is the attitude of your heart. As we're giving thanks to God daily for who He is and the blessings He's given to us, do we have this other identity that creeps in from time to time, the spirit of Black Friday, that gets us to concentrate on the things that we do not have and to covet and to desire and to lust after those things? These spirits work at odds with one another. A grateful person is so filled with joy and praise to the Lord for all of the benefits that He has given them in their life that the gift giving and gift getting is inferior in comparison. I'm not saying you should be ashamed of yourself for going out on Friday for bargains. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that you need to guard your heart from the sin of covetousness that leads to all types of heartache. Gratitude is so much more becoming of God's people. That is the spirit He would have to reside in us. Now, where does all of this ill will toward others come from? How is it that coveting, which is an inward sin, can then morph into bickering, which is an outward sin? James here talks about so quickly that we have these desires battling within us that we don't have the things we think we need. So he says, you kill. Now recognize that in Jesus' terms, that when you think about another person with ill will, that you have committed murder in your heart. So it doesn't have to be a physical killing that takes place, but it's that you don't have the things that you want, and somebody else has things that you believe that you should have, and so it begins this process of comparing. So the spirit of Black Friday is also the spirit of comparing. We compare what is available with what we have, and suddenly we are no longer happy. We compare what others have with what we have, And it makes us feel bad about ourselves. It makes us feel inferior to them. Why can't I have these things? Why can't I wear the latest fashion? It makes us feel second rate. And we think that if we can just get those things for ourselves before others have them, or if our things are nicer or more unique than the things that they have, that we will feel better about ourselves in comparison to others. So the spirit of Black Friday is all about comparing ourselves with others. There are some things out there that I didn't even know that I wanted until I saw someone else had one. I didn't even know it was something I desperately needed until I saw that somebody else had it. Now it's on my list, and it better be under the tree on Christmas Day, because suddenly I can't go another day without it. I have to have it now. That's the spirit of Black Friday. I saw the other day that Sears is going out of business. We were over by the mall, and it just had signs on it. They're done. That Sears is just done. That's one less Black Friday sale to worry about, and one less circular in your newspaper. But it's kind of sad for me, because my first real job, other than delivering newspapers, was working at a Sears department store. And those who grew up in my era will always remember the Sears catalog that arrived at your home. Now, maybe you remember other catalogs that came as well, but for where I grew up, it was all about the Sears catalog. And I remember how that catalog would come every year, and I would study each and every page of that catalog with, we didn't have Sharpies back then, they were called magic markers, and we would take the magic marker and we would circle the things that we wanted and, you know, just maybe put our initials next to it, you know. And so I would go through the Sears catalog and I'd see all these things that I never even knew existed before, and I would circle them and say, well, I gotta have that, I gotta have one of those. And see, my way of thinking was, the more things I circle, the more likelihood that I will get at least one of these things. So I'll just go ahead and circle anything that fits my fancy. And so maybe that's where it begins. The Sears catalog had a way of mysteriously disappearing after Christmas. I remember a couple times thinking, I need to get that catalog and make sure that I got everything I circled, but not being able to find the catalog at all anywhere in the house. My parents are still wise like that. Forget the fact that next Christmas, all of that stuff will be forgotten. Forget the fact that some of those gifts, a day later, you realize that they really don't make you happy. They really didn't do what you thought they were gonna do for you. Forget all of that. So the spirit of Black Friday is comparing. And the dirty little secret of Black Friday is the number of people who actually go out that day and they're shopping not for anybody else but themselves, because there's a deal to be had and you can't miss a deal. You don't want to lose any money on this thing. So when we foster an attitude of gratitude, the spirit of thanksgiving, on the other hand, it's the spirit of humility. Instead of the spirit of comparing yourself with others to say, am I better off than them? Do I have more things than them? Do I have all the things that I deserve in life? The spirit of thanksgiving is a spirit of humility, where you lower yourself in your heart and in your mind and recognize that there are so many more important things in this life. Suddenly, the things of this world just don't matter as much. In fact, the passage of Scripture says that friendship with the world and love for the things of the world is actually enmity against God. That when we become obsessed with the things of the world and chase after the things of the world, what we're saying to God is, I don't really need you. I don't need you. I need this stuff. I need these things. I don't need you, God. And the passage says that God grieves over that he is jealous over us when we pursue the things of this world, thinking that somehow they will make us feel better about ourselves. We can escape the rat race. We can surrender our war of trying to keep up with the Joneses. Rather than comparing ourselves with others, we can be happy to know that we are servants of the living God, and he has provided us with all that we need to do that job well. And we can admire him and all of his glories without trying to puff ourselves up with the things of this world to make ourselves feel better. We can see ourselves as subjects of his great kingdom rather than subjects of this world. We can recognize that as members of his kingdom, he has this great gift in store for us in a future yet to come. And we can realize that when we serve him in this world and when we pursue his purposes in this life, that we are storing up those treasures in heaven. And so we don't have to chase after the things of this world. In fact, humility allows us to glory in our shortcomings in this world. Life is so much more satisfying when you know that you are not all that. You don't have to fight for things to prop up your status. You can just be yourself. And you can just relax in the grace and mercy of a benevolent, loving God. You can be the person that God created you to be. You can let the gifts that he has given to you and the uniqueness and the fingerprint that he gave you to shine forth to his glory rather than always seeking the next thing that's going to make you stand apart in the crowd. According to James, our coveting and desiring and lusting after the world results in our comparing ourselves with others and feeling inferior. So the next logical step when you feel inferior about yourself is to fight and to scratch and to quarrel and, as he says, to even kill. The spirit of Black Friday is also the spirit of conniving. Conniving to find a way to get the things that I want. Conniving in life, not just on that day of shopping, but throughout life, conniving to build an image of myself that makes me feel good by surrounding myself with pretty things, doing everything that I can in my own strength to try and become a person of significance and importance that everyone will notice me, to find the perfect gift at a reasonable price that will knock her off her feet. And she won't be able to help but to love me even more. Say, yeah, I know how much these things cost, but, you know, I got it on Black Friday. So not only am I fabulous, but I'm also thrifty. And we human beings have come up with all sorts of ways to make ourselves feel special and important and loved. And advertisers help us, right? They say, aren't you tired of that old car of yours? Wouldn't you like some people's heads to turn as you drive by? You need to do whatever it takes to get that feeling, to be that person. Meanwhile, the spirit of thanksgiving is the spirit of contentment. It's the ability to look at the things that you already have, that God has blessed you with, and to be satisfied and fulfilled and happy with where you are right now in life. If you could never have one more thing, if the gifts under your tree were completely empty, you would still be just as content on that morning as you are right now. That is the spirit of thanksgiving. You have what you need. Now, you can go out and buy a gift for someone. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going out and purchasing the things you need and trying to find a good price for them. You may have a need for something legitimate and see that it's cheaper this week. That's okay. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. That is not my point at all, so don't misrepresent me. The problem comes in this life when we are never happy, when we are never content. We are never fulfilled and we are never satisfied and are always conniving to have the next thing, something more, to be somebody special, rather than being thankful for what we have and who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus once said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or shop endlessly or search the internet or store away in barns." Doesn't say all that, but I just figured I'd add a few. "And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He provides for them. Are you not much more valuable than they? If he cares for the birds, if his eye is on the sparrow, don't you think he cares for you? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, the unbelievers, the people without God run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It says, why chase after the things of this world when you have a heavenly Father who knows what you need, and if you will just seek after him and pleasing him, you will have everything you need for this life and much, much more than you deserve for today and for eternity. The pagans run after these things, always angling and culling for greater things. But the Christian seeks God's kingdom, always glorying in his love and in his provision. The spirit of thanksgiving is a spirit of contentment. So when we lose our attitude of gratitude and we forget that everything is a gracious gift from God, when we begin to think that our lives only matter because of the things that we have collected or the stuff that we own, then we see each other as enemies. That's how that works, see? We start seeing each other as enemies. We see all the resources of this world and think of them as limited. We think of the fact that, oh, those Black Friday deals, you know, when you get there to the store, there's only going to be three or four of those items. So, man, you better be in the front of that line. If you have to sleep in a tent overnight, you better be in the front of that line. And if you aren't, there's no way you're going to get your hand on one of those. And if you just so happen to walk down an aisle and spot out of the corner of your eyes one of those, you better make sure your hand is the first one on it. And if it's not, you tear it out of the other person's hand because that thing rightfully belongs to you. And so that's not just the Black Friday spirit, but that becomes the everyday spirit of life for folks. When we begin to see our brothers and sisters, the people that God has created in this world, as our opponents to becoming who we want to become and getting the things that we need. Can you even imagine seeing somebody laying on the floor in front of you and trampling over them in order to get a discounted iPad before they do? Can you even imagine that? So we no longer see one another as fellow travelers in this life, but as opponents. And the spirit of Black Friday is the spirit of quarreling. Look again at verse 2. James says, you desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. But thanksgiving and contentment and worship, it provides us with peace. The spirit of thanksgiving is a spirit of peace, not a spirit of quarreling, not a spirit of clamoring and conniving to get what I want, not a spirit of trying to get there first so I can have what's mine, but a spirit of peace. It's so much more relaxing in this world to know that God will provide for me. And I don't have to argue or bicker with the person next to me to get it. We can get along with one another. We can walk away from the line. We can walk away from the pressing crowd because we value those people over the things. We can stop and help a fellow traveler at the risk of not scoring a great deal. We used to play a game in gym class, and maybe you did too. The name of the game was called Steal the Bacon. Do you remember that game? We used to put something, sometimes it was a newspaper wrapped in duct tape. That was one of the bacon. It was never literal bacon, by the way. Sometimes it was like a little bowling pin looking thing. But the gym teacher would put that in the line in the middle of the gym, and there would be two lines of people on either end of the gym. And then each person would have a number. So if your number was 7 and he called out 7, you would run to be the first one to get that bacon, whatever it was, to grab it and to run all the way back to your line with it in your hand. Sometimes you would call two or three numbers, and you'd be out there with a group of people circling this thing. Who's going to be the bravest one to grab it? Sometimes you learn to work with other people. You'd grab it and throw it, and they'd grab it, and they'd run it down to the end of the line. It was a great game. Unfortunately, that's what life has become sometimes. Can I get what I need and run as fast as I possibly can to beat the other guy, to get it before he does? But if we will have peace with God and who He's created us to be, if we are thankful for what He's given to us, and if we will humble ourselves before Him and before others, and if we will be content in life, we can have peace. And life can become a game of share the bacon, right? Where we just fry it up and serve it cheerfully to anyone around. There's enough for everybody. Life can be so much more peaceful when we see everything that we have as God-given gifts to be shared with others, rather than our property to be guarded and protected against anyone who might invade. Thanksgiving brings peace. If we give thanks to God for all that He has given to us and realize that it's a blessing from Him and hold it in an open hand, it brings peace. So as you look at this list of defining characteristics, what should you do if you find yourself wandering toward the dark side? What should you do if you find some of the characteristics and traits of Black Friday beginning to seep into your soul? If you are beginning to sense the covetousness and the comparisons and the conniving and the quarreling, and it all is beginning to rise up in your life, how do you combat that? Well, let's look at some winning strategies to help us become recentered into the Thanksgiving strategy. Here's some things that you can actively do. First of all, dethrone yourself. Dethrone yourself. Here's the way that James puts it. In verse 7 of James chapter 4, he says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you." When we envision ourselves as the center of the world and everyone else and everything else is a tool to provide us with our happiness, we have truly lost perspective. When all we can see in this life is the things that we can see, taste, and touch and enjoy, and they become all important, and we begin to strive after those things, beware anybody who gets in the way. Our pursuit of pleasure puts us in conflict with God and with others who are pursuing their pleasure. So one of the winning strategies is just to recover the spirit of Thanksgiving before Black Friday steals it away, and to remove yourself forcefully from the throne of your life. To just dethrone yourself. And then what do you do once that throne is empty? You enthrone your God. James chapter 4 and verse 5. "Do you think Scripture says without reason that He jealously longs for the Spirit He has caused to dwell in us?" See, this is what God wants, is for His Spirit to live within us, to grow within us, for Him to be enthroned at the center of our lives and the center of our world. So here's a prayer worth repeating. "Dear Lord, I hereby step off the throne of my life and relinquish power to You. Take Your rightful place on Your throne. Rule and reign over every aspect of my life, God. You must increase and I must decrease. Bring peace and contentment that comes when You alone sit on the throne of my life." I read this week this wonderful little piece called "Dethrone the King" by Bill Britton. And I want to read these words to you and think about them for a moment. "When you are forgotten, or neglected, or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting or hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy, being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, or your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart, or even to defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence. That is dying to self. When you lovingly, patiently bear any disorder and irregularity, any impunctuality, or any annoyance, when you come face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus endured it, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any raiment, any climate, any society, any solitude, any interruption by the will of God, that is dying to self. When you never refer to yourself in conversation or to record your own good works or itch after commendation, when you can truly love to go unknown, that is dying to self. When you could see your brother or sister have his or her needs met and can honestly rejoice in spirit and can feel no envy nor question God while your own needs are far greater and in more desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. I don't know about you, but I have a long, long way to go in that battle. A long, long way to go. But once he is on the throne of your life and you are off the throne of your life, you will be able to, number three, pursue his purpose. To pursue his purpose. See, living the life of thanksgiving means pursuing the things that are important to God rather than pursuing the things that occur to be important to you. To glorify him with your life, to make his name famous, to set aside your rights and your desires and your needs for what you know is right in God's eyes, what you know God desires, what you know would please him, to meet the needs of those who are struggling, to share the story of your faith with others, to be possessed by the spirit of thanksgiving rather than the spirit of greed, to spread his love and to spread his goodness, to use the talents and the gifts that he has given to you for his purposes. This is what it means to pursue his purpose with all your passion. To let the world clamor after all of the stuff and the things, and you clamor after the Lord. And finally, another winning strategy is to repair your relationships. That's where this particular passage of scripture began. Ask the question, what is it that's causing all these fights? What is it that's causing all these quarrels? Where do they come from? Well, it's coming from the spirit of Black Friday. It's coming from your desire to want and to have. Well, James teaches us that hearts filled with pride and lust and the desire for pleasure tend to leave a wake of hurt and brokenness behind them. Maybe you didn't mean it. Maybe you were just pursuing your life and they were pursuing their life and you butted heads and they got in the way. The great thing about recovering the spirit of thanksgiving in your life is the ability to go back and make some of those things right. To realize where you made that mistake and to go back and to make it right. To see where you have hurt others and where you have hurt yourself. And to seek peace from the quarreling. To find life-giving relationships rather than selfish pursuits. Rather than seeing people as obstacles to getting what you want. Or seeing them as tools to get what you want, you suddenly see yourself as being placed in this world to help them find what would fulfill their hearts and their dreams, to help them know truly who Jesus is. But it begins in your own heart. And I challenge you to think back on this year and look in the wake of your life to see if there is a relationship that you have left behind that needs repair. Think hard, long, and deep about this past year and where you pursuing the things that you wanted may have left someone in the dust. Think about that. And then I challenge you to take the initiative, take the responsibility. Don't wait for them and do whatever it takes to make it right, to repair it. Life has a way of dividing us. The spirit of thanksgiving helps us to see our place in this world and to realize people are so much more valuable than things. And I pray that before the door completely closes on this Thanksgiving weekend, as you begin to pull down the boxes for Christmas celebrations, that you will stop and thank God one more time. And just keep thanking Him. It's a practice that will keep you connected to Him each and every day. That it will keep your perspective in this world where it belongs. So I pray that the spirit of thanksgiving will fill you and guide you and correct you each and every day of your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning and for the reminder here in the book of James that you are a God who desires our heart. And yet, Lord, we live in a world where so many things are clamoring for our heart. Father, I pray that you would sit upon the throne of our lives and, Lord, that we would find the contentment and the peace and the gratitude that belongs in our spirit. And Father, that it might change the way that we treat one another in this world as well. Help us, Lord, to live within the spirit of thanksgiving, that your Holy Spirit might fill us and use us to be people of peace in this world. Not clamoring after the things that we desire, but Lord, achieving the things that you desire for us. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.